Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have a show, I think, today that will not only touch your heart and your mind, but I think it will also give you an insight on how important it is to have advocacy for patients, but more than anything else, to never give up hope, to always realize that no matter what hits you in life, expected or unexpected, there usually is a way to resolve it. I'd like to welcome to my show today Jay and Sue Chotel. Their book is called It's Good to Know a Miracle, Danny's Story. It's one family's struggle with a disease that's been around for we don't know how long. The disease is leukemia. Welcome to the show, Jay and Sue.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having us on.
Oh, it is just a delight. It was such a special story. I was so impressed with your book because it took everybody on a journey, your personal experience with Danny, a journey that none of you ever in your wildest dreams expected to have. And I was fascinated with the fact that once this journey began, that you kept a journal on all of this, and that's why this book is here. It's because of the journaling that was done to keep records on all of this. Whichever one of you would like to start, January 11, 2002. Now, September 11 is a big number in anybody's mind in the U.S., but it was an even bigger number to you for a very special reason. Tell us what happened on that particular day.
Well, that was the day that our daughter Danny was diagnosed with acute myelogenous leukemia. And it was actually quite a day. We had made some plans because it was a year after September 11, 2001, and we had sort of talked about the fact that, you know, if something were to, God forbid, happen again, as a family, we should meet someplace. So on that day, Danny hadn't been feeling well. Jay went over her home to make her breakfast, and that's when Danny got the phone call from her doctor.
Now, Danny at this time was 26 years old, and she was going to through her second year at Walter Reed, or she was getting ready to go into her second year at the Walter Reed School in Arlington County, Virginia. She was involved in teaching. She had a real passion for life. Tell us what happened with Danny that made her aware that she needed to see a doctor, number one? And why was it that this happened so rapidly?
Well, I can't answer the medical. Probably Jay could do that. But about 2 weeks prior to September 11th, Danny started feeling ill. It was during summer vacation. Her life was absolutely terrific, and she had a sore throat. And it wasn't going away. And I believe it was Labor Day weekend that year. She started spitting up blood, and she called her doctor and went to the emergency room. And they gave her a strep test. They said she had strep, and she went home. And in the next 2 weeks, she may have gone to the doctor five or six times. And they kept trying different medications on her, and they gave her steroids and various things to make her feel better, and she was still feeling ill.
And I think it's important to say at this point that we were all getting rather frustrated with the situation, and my wife said to my daughter, you need to get a blood test. And in terms of your second question, how something like this happens so quickly, there's really two major kinds of leukemia. And people call it, you know, the words that are used are acute and chronic, and they mean exactly that. And the acute leukemia really blows up in your body, so that if the doctors told us that if she would have had a physical exam a month prior to this, nothing would have shown up.
Amazing. And that includes the blood tests that could have been done.
That's correct.
That's correct.
That is amazing. So this is a situation that it came on very, very quickly. I know that when in part of the memories that Danny has about this, it was September the 9th that she found bruises all over her body.
Right.
And then it's just after that, it's just phenomenal. Now, it was September 11th, like you said, 2002, where her doctor says that she has a high blast cell count. What is that?
Well, actually, it's interesting because I always felt, as a layman, that having white blood cells to fight disease was a good thing. What I didn't realize was that with leukemia, at least the type of leukemia that Danny had, the white blood cells actually grow uncontrollably, and they are immature cells. In other words, they blow up in your body. They grow very quickly, and they can't do their primary function, which is to protect the body from disease.
And they're sticky by nature, and they latch on to body organs, and they start shutting them down because they suffocate them.
Amazing. So the body is really attacking itself.
That's correct. That's correct. And what happens at that point is that if, in fact, you don't get placed on medication very quickly, it's one of the reasons that cancer has such a bad reputation, for lack of a better term.
Well, there are so many different types, and I think that we're gaining in our understanding that you can't clump everything together. If you do, you make a big mistake because everybody's body chemistry is different. And in her case, her immune system was fighting with a fury, but it was fighting itself.
That's correct. And in fact, any illness or virus or anything that she would pick up at that point in time, the white blood cells weren't able to battle that particular illness, which is one of the reasons that it shows up oftentimes as another kind of illness, like a strep throat.
Mm-hmm. And they're just automatically going to think of that. Who would consider this? Okay, now, you had a registry that you could not be involved with. I mean, things had to move along really, really fast here because Danny's life was on the line within a very, very short period of time. And you said she was not eligible to be in the registry because she had mononucleosis in 1992. What is this registry, and what was this all about? Why is this so important?
Well, it's interesting. What has happened in the past 15 to 20 years is that there's been tremendous strides in the treatment of leukemia. I mean, you know, cancer in many ways has been a death sentence no matter what the type of cancer. But for blood cancers, blood-related cancers like leukemia, basically the only cure for someone like Danny based on her constitution was a bone marrow transplant. And so back in the late 80s, early 90s, they actually started, NIH started the process and the National Marrow Donor Program of registering people by just giving a drop of blood. And they would do a blood typing on their blood and then keep them in a registry so that if, in fact, someone gets sick, they can match that person, hopefully, with someone who's in the registry. And it started out very small, and in the early 90s, there was actually a young lady, just a slightly younger than Danny was when she was taken ill, who was ill, and they were trying to find a match for her. And so our family actually registered as bone marrow donors actually in the early 90s, but Danny was excluded from that process because if you've had certain types of blood-related illnesses, like mononucleosis, which is common to younger people, then you're not allowed to be a bone marrow donor. And so she was excluded from that process, although it had nothing at all to do with what happened to her later.
It takes a village, I think, to make changes, to make things happen. And your family was part of that village. But that village, as I'm describing it, includes the doctors, the nurses, the support of friends, working associates that Danny had. It was incredible the amount of response from community, that village of people, to Danny's story. And we'll go into some of that. But as soon as this went out, I mean, your daughter's life could have been totally snuffed out within 24 hours. What was done that enabled Jenny to have a chance at life? What went on? What did the medical community do?
Well, at the doctor's office, she had a bone marrow aspirate, and she was immediately admitted to the hospital. We were just so surprised because usually you have to wait in admissions, and then she went to the emergency room. While in the emergency room, she received, a physical exam, and within, I guess, 40 minutes, she was in a private room. And within 11 hours of her diagnosis, they began treating her with a pre-chemo medication called Hydrea. Jay, you want to continue?
Sure. And that basically reduces the white blood count to some degree. Again, her blood count at this point in time, her white cell count was 140,000, which doesn't mean a lot for the layman, except that your normal white blood cell count is 10 to 14,000. So it gives you some idea of the difficulty that her system was facing. And then that next morning, they started what's called an apheresis process, which is actually a centrifuge that they attach. For anyone who's been a platelet donor, they've seen a centrifuge that actually can separate white blood cells from red blood cells.
And platelets.
And so they were able to remove actually a great many of those blast cells or ineffective white blood cells from her body. And then that second evening, she was ready to begin her chemotherapy treatments.
So her blood cell count went down from 140,000 to, I believe, what was it, 75,000?
Yeah. So, again, that started her on the process, and then the chemotherapy was then added in to remove those immature cells.
You ask a question that I think anybody would want to ask. How does one get leukemia? And you brought out the fact in your book that there are several factors that can cause this. One is exposure to a very high dose of radiation, like from an atomic bomb explosion. Another can be exposure to benzene, a toxic chemical once used in cleaning solvents. And third possibility is exposure to chemotherapy used to treat cancers. And this is not something, and it's very important for people to understand this is not something that is hereditary, it's not contagious. But when it hits, when something happens to the immune system, and this is the result, it really moves very, very fast.
And I think one of the things that was really interesting, or, it wasn't interesting at the time, it was sad, but, the fact of the matter is that when we asked the doctors, what do they think caused this, what they came up with, and about the only answer they could come up with, is bad luck, that they really didn't know.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's an honest answer. Mm-hmm. I think too many times we expect the medical community to know it all, and they can't, because the human body and situations and exposures to various things. Stress sometimes creates a chemical change in the body. There's all kinds of stuff, but we're down to the battle. Now, here you are in the battle. You had four major obstacles that you had to go through. What were those four obstacles?
Well, the first thing was to reduce her white blood cell count because, again, I think we talked about the fact that how dangerous that was to her. Then the second thing is really the fact that she, because her immune system was compromised, if she were to catch any other illness, and interestingly enough, there are organisms in all of our bodies that are kept in control by white blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
And if, in fact, you don't have the white blood cells to fight those organisms, sometimes the organisms that are in your body are more dangerous than the organisms that you might catch from another person. So those were really two areas that were of concern.
And the other is that the leukemia could start the blood cells, the blast could start shutting down her other organs.
And speaking of organs, the liver has one of the most difficult jobs. It's one of the hardiest organs in the body, next to the heart as far as I'm concerned. But the liver has to process all the toxic cocktails
right. That
a patient is given. But it can rejuvenate itself. And Danny had a lot of challenges she went through with that treatment. And fortunately, she was able to eat.
Yeah.
Well, and I think one of the things that you find out is that, oftentimes the chemotherapy is a poison. I mean, it kills those things that are fast growing in your body. And then the liver's job is to kick in and then clean out all that, the stuff.
Yes, one of the images we have of the chemotherapy is the nurses, they would have to, like, dress up in these, like, plastic, they almost look like spacesuits. They would cover their entire bodies so that none of the poison, which was the chemotherapy that was being injected into our daughter's body, that they would not, it would not touch them. So you became aware of how toxic this medication was.
Now, I have to compliment you and your family because there was one thing all of you agreed not to do, and that was not to focus on the word cancer, because that brings such a negative, it's almost like it's defeating. As soon as the word is uttered, many, many individuals would just say, that's it, I'm going to die.
It was more Danny than it was us who said, you know, I don't have cancer. If there's 99% chance that I have cancer, there's 1% chance that I don't.
And that's, I mean, I think you're correct. That attitude is probably one of the most critically important things, and certainly something that we learned through this process. That, you know, we all had our roles to play and our jobs to do, but I think a common role to all of us was to stay positive, to believe that, in fact, she would get better, and to think in those terms. And I think what the doctors constantly tell us is that's the wild card. That's the thing they can't control. And it's so important for families who face these kinds of difficult situations to keep hope alive and to do those things that are positive and surround yourself with positive images. Because that, in effect, it's a very difficult time. It's a very difficult time for the family and a very difficult time for the patient. And again, it's just amazing to us how the medical community can stay positive, and it's our responsibility to stay positive as the patient and the family and the caregiver.
I agree. That's why I think having a patient advocate such as you were for your own daughter is very important to keep that support there. Let's talk for a moment about the National Marrow Donor Program. This was established in 1991. Tell us what it's all about, what it does, because this is very important. We may have a listener that may need this information at some time. Let's talk about that for a couple of minutes.
Well, sure, and I'd like to talk about it in two ways if I could. One way is that it is critically important for someone who is in need of a transplant. And again, a transplant of bone marrow is not all that different from transplant of a kidney or a heart or lung or anything else that we talk about in terms of transplant language. But the National Marrow Donor Program is really focused on blood-related cancers and diseases. And when a person needs a transplant because of their, you know, idiosyncratic makeup or the disease that they have, then the hospital settings can go to the National Marrow Donor Program. They test the person's blood and say, this is what we need in terms of a match, and they go through their registry. And how quickly this thing has grown is when Danny was transplanted in the spring of 2003, there were approximately 8 million people registered. There are now over 13 million people registered in the Bone Marrow Donor Registry, and that's just in the United States. And it's a worldwide link to other donor registries in the world, and quite honestly for us, that world connection was the critically important one.
So here we have the foundation. You have contacted them. They're seeking. Danny's going through all kinds of treatment. She went through very, very difficult times, of course, like so many who go through chemotherapy, various forms of medication. She lost her hair. She had a wonderful young man that was in her life. And
still is.
And still is, yes, because they got married.
That's right.
But I've got a picture of her and her husband-to-be at the time, and she was bald, and psychologically that really affects you a great deal. Yet she was able, through art, to be able to make a turnaround, and that was absolutely fabulous. She said, here is her poem, I remember looking into the mirror that day and thinking, you have leukemia? I could stand to be alone in that moment, lose myself in the reflection, but I wasn't alone. I was thrown into a world of comfort filled with friends and family. I could have cried with tears never ending, but instead the worst news of my life turned into a time of utter amazement. Due to the unpredictable amounts of kindness and compassion shown by many, I will beat this for me and for everyone who loves me. Now, the journey did not just end with what she was going through and what you described. She ended up coming into the area of Seattle, Washington, with Fred Hutchinson.
It's one of our favorite places, by the way, I'll tell you.
Yes, I know. I live in the area, so it's beautiful. And the cancer center there is one of the best in the nation.
Absolutely.
You came out here, and you had to raise money for this. We're talking about how much money for this treatment.
Well, it's interesting. Our hospital plan, when she was first diagnosed, told us that they will set aside $1 million for treatment, and that's for the bills that are covered by insurance. But the other thing that occurs is that, of course, we had to be transplanted to Seattle from Washington, D.C., in order for Danny to receive the transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're talking about all those things that are not covered, you know, travel and room and board and just setting up a new life for the period of approximately 4 months when my wife and my daughter were out there. My wife is the primary caregiver, and then I was a different kind of commuter than I've ever been before in my life because I was basically home for 5 days and then out there for 9 days. Every other week I was out in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But there were many different ways of fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, why don't you talk about the bone marrow?
There's the National Transplant Assistance Fund, which was of tremendous value to us because when we first started this process, we knew it would be very expensive. And so one of the things that we had some of our friends become involved in was really fundraising for the expenses that wouldn't be covered. And, I guess I've never really totaled up the total amount of money that was there, but quite honestly, we were willing to mortgage the house and do whatever we needed to do, obviously to make this happen for our daughter. But the National Transplant Assistance Fund, which is a 501c3, actually, they are a fund that raises money for individual people that are in need of transplants or have catastrophic injuries. And
mm-hmm.
they're based in Pennsylvania, and they do wonderful work, and they give you all kinds of ideas on fundraising. And so we were able to cover many of our expenses with their support and their help in our fundraising activity.
Let's talk about the young man, a 30-year-old German male, who matched on 9 of 10 characteristics with the mismatched characteristics not sufficient to eliminate being a donor. This young man in Germany was the one that enabled your daughter to finally beat this leukemia. Tell us about this young man and the process that was done and when this occurred.
Tom was, I think, 2 years prior to Danny's having leukemia. Tom Heimhuber was at the hospital because his sister had been in a motorcycle accident. And I believe while he and his mom were sitting in the waiting room, there was a pamphlet or there was a sign that said, be a bone marrow donor. And Tom was just sitting around waiting, and he decided to do that.
And probably the most amazing part of that story is that Danny ended up only having one match in the entire world, and it turned out to be this 30-year-old German man who just happened to be at the right place at the right time, was rather bored, and decided, well, that's easy enough to do, and I'll get it done.
Now, what's even more amazing is the donors, typically, their information is not given to the recipient.
That's right.
And yet you were able to make contact with him because you wanted to let him know how much it was appreciated and how grateful you were for this. Some people never want to be recognized in any way. But he was open and receptive to this. How did you get past that barrier of confidentiality?
Well, the United States has a one-year time limit in which at the conclusion of 1 year, they'll inform the donor, they'll ask the donor if they want to be in contact with the recipient. And but in international law or German law, it's 2 years. So after 2 years post-transplant, Seattle Cancer Care, I believe, notified Tom and asked him if he wanted to be in contact with Danny. And at that point, he said yes. There was some mail lost during the process, and about 6 months later, Danny finally heard from Tom.
Now, Danny ended up being married, and she's got a wonderful, wonderful life. She was able to be in touch with Tom, and they were actually able to meet face-to-face. Danny and Scott, her husband, ended up getting married when?
October 9th, 2005.
2005. She had an incredible struggle. One of the wonderful aspects of your book, not only the journaling and the wonderful perspectives that you give with such clarity and the challenges that you went through, but you also have an appendix where you give information, resources that people can utilize. You have a section, lessons you've learned, information about transplants and they're expensive, how to do fundraising, bone marrow drives, how to work with publicity, how to use a website, how to deal with insurance, various organizations. You have all of this in your book, and I think that that's so marvelous because too frequently when something like this happens, there's a great deal of difficulty when you're dealing with the intensity and the emotions of someone potentially dying, like your daughter was in that situation, and you found out later she only had basically 24 hours to live when the medical experts decided they had to do something within that time frame, and that really saved her life. They knew enough to do something. You say here, ask questions, keep notes. What kind of questions should be asked?
The only bad question is the one you don't ask. So we ask questions about everything. It's a new world now, and we found that the doctors welcomed our questions. We asked how, you know, from very simple, how did this happen, to what's the effect of these medications.
And when we didn't understand their answer to the question, they would draw us pictures in our notebook. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were absolutely fabulous. And again, I can't say enough about the medical staff and the doctors at Seattle Cancer Care. They were just superb.
Or Arlington.
Or at Arlington Hospital Center for the initial diagnosis and the initial treatment. We were just terribly pleased with the medical community and how they reacted. And we truly believe that oncology doctors and nurses are a special breed because they don't see, you know, many times in hospital settings right now, you're in and you're out. In fact, you're not even sure you're in and you're out. But certainly as a cancer patient, it's long-term care. And patients, and doctors and nurses become attached to their patients. There's no question about it. And I think it makes their job that much more difficult. But they were fabulous.
And I know that it was very important to you and to members of the family to let these professionals know how much they were appreciated. And that's something that you stress. To recognize that these people that are working so hard, that are fighting for your loved one, whoever that loved one might be, frequently they're under extreme stresses themselves. Often they honestly don't know what they're fighting. They're just working with what they are perceiving at a moment, and that could change in a split second, depending on what the research was. Just like the doctor that originally treated your daughter thought she had just a strep throat. Didn't dawn on him until a little while later, and someone else as well, let's do a blood test. Let's find out what's going on here, because this has been going on for too long. And this, I think, is very important to be aware of. Education, you stress. Educate yourself. Don't assume things. That's much different than it was 30 or 40 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. We had conversations with Susie's parents about, you know, and they thought that, you know, it was inappropriate for us to ask questions of the medical community, and I think that's changed. And I think the medical community realizes that it's better too. I think when everyone understands as best as they can the situation and the options and the choices, I just think that better decisions are made.
Again, you have a wonderful listing of organizations. For those of you listening, my guests today have been Jay and Sue Chotel. Their book, It's Good to Know a Miracle, Danny's Story, One Family Struggled with Leukemia. This is a publication that I think is invaluable. Why? Because they share their experience, the battle. And I think too often we gloss over things. It's like it's easier to do that. We don't talk about the real life threatening emotional, mental, physical, and social situations that you have to deal with. It is a real challenge, not just for the patient, but for all of those people around them. This is a wonderful book to add to a library. If you know of anyone that's dealing with a critical situation, this book, It's Good to Know a Miracle, Danny's Story, is a must read. Now, Jay and Sue, I know you have a website. Give us information on that.
Sure. I'll just mention two things quickly, that the website is basically itsgoodtoknowamiracle.googlepages.com/home. And if they wanted to get to us directly, we'd be happy to respond to any questions they might have. And it's just knowamiracle@AOL.com.
Knowamiracle@AOL.com. Well, Jay and Sue, thank you for telling your story, for telling Danny's story. Because miracles, I do happen. And sometimes they need a lot of help and a lot of support. And obviously, you did that with a great deal of love. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For having us.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. We've got lots of good things to share with you today. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Siebel, and telephone lines are now open. Here are the telephone numbers you can call in to if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the toll-free numbers, USA 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have another direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, if you're a first-time listener, I am an intuitive. I'm delighted to be able to share my mental skills with you when you call in. All I will need is your first name or initial. After that, just let me do the talking, and when I'm finished, then you can ask me a question about anything that crosses your mind. So again, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756 and 530-876-3222. Oh, it feels so good being back in the Pacific Northwest. We had just an absolutely awesome business trip back on the East Coast. It is gorgeous in Virginia and in so many areas back there. It's just absolutely phenomenal. But I'll tell you what, 100% humidity and thunderstorms that will absolutely keep you rocking and rolling all night long, I'm just not accustomed to. And I had some things on taking flights and dealing with various issues, and I'm going to cover that because our flight was delayed an hour and a half, and I'll share that with you. But it is something you have to be aware that when you're traveling this time of the year and you're going to different parts of the country, you need to be prepared. And don't get all flushed and stressed and agitated and upset. Try to make your plans flexible enough so that if something is delayed, as it happened with us, and because it's weather, I'm sorry, but Mother Nature does have her burpy moments, but when she does do her thing, you have to go with the flow. So we'll be covering a little bit of that, too. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Yeah, hi, Donna. My initial's Kay, and I'm calling from Louisiana.
Louisiana? Where in Louisiana?
In, east of New Orleans.
New Orleans. My goodness, I know you're perking down there.
Yeah, it's kind of warm. That's okay.
But that's okay. You live down there. You're used to it.
That's right.
Absolutely. But it is beautiful. That is gorgeous, gorgeous country.
It is.
Okay. Okay, let's get down to business with you. I want you to consider joining a writing class. I will tell you why. You are an individual that has a capacity for communication with words that I think is exceptional. I'd love to see you in a very creative type of a writing environment where maybe there'd be a mixture of people that do fiction and others that do nonfiction.
Yeah.
There is this part of you in your brain, at least as I'm observing it, that is so colorful, so very imaginative, and that's wonderful. But you need to be able to bring words together so that they're like a painting. So that when people are reading, they go, woo, that gives me the willies.
Hey, Donna, you hit me right on. I'm an artist, and I teach. So, and I use lots of words.
Uh-huh.
I write as well.
Yes. Well, there is something that you feel you've been missing, and you can't quite put your finger on it. You're a very intelligent woman. But this is something that you just need to be able to work with. So you need to be in an environment with others who have different thinking modalities. That will give you the little pieces that you're missing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you will just love it. Now, you are being very much made aware of the fact that you have to be careful of what you eat. Your body is doing some funny things. It's as if with certain foods, let's say you had a bunch of pancakes, and some syrup on it, but it wasn't maple syrup, it was an artificial syrup. And you had that, and maybe later on in the day you notice your legs get very puffy. And you go, well, that's odd, what could do that? Wonder if it's circulation. But you walk and you do things like that. What it is, it is your body trying to process certain things.
Gotcha.
And it's storing water. It's like it's having to work extra hard at this. So this is telling you your physiology is changing in its needs. And you just need to sort of pay attention. Certain foods that you maybe enjoyed and ate quite frequently, it's like I eat them and they just don't agree with me.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know, it's just like, oh, this, I don't know, what's the matter with me? It just doesn't taste good anymore.
Right.
Listen to your body.
Okay.
And do the adaptation. Lighter meals for you are better. And
okay.
It's not just because you're in a warm area of country.
Right.
It's your physiology. It's just adapting and changing. But you must remember to consume enough protein.
Yeah, great.
If you don't have enough protein, you are going to have problems. But you need to determine the type of proteins that work best for you. So this is one of the biggest things that I'm seeing changing with you in these next 2 years is the way that your body is responding to anything. It could be something as simple as an aspirin, to any medication you might have to be given, to food, to liquids. I mean, there are things that you're just going to say, I just can't have them. And somebody says, well, you're nuts. They know. I can't have them.
Right.
I just know. So trust yourself.
Okay.
And your intuitive skills are developing so beautifully. I want to support you and encourage you to continue to develop them, dear. They are worth developing, but do it through your art.
Yeah. Do you see anything for a relationship for me?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think you've had a few interesting characters come into your life, but you really aren't ready for what I call a real down-to-earth kind of a relationship. And I'm not saying that in a sense of criticism. What I'm saying it for is you need some elbow room. You have a patterning where you will just go and give and give and give and give and give to other people, and then you put yourself on the back burner and you don't even simmer. And then you wonder why you want to get all by yourself. You want to be all alone.
Yeah.
And that's because you give so much away that you have to recuperate.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
So be wise, hon. Understand that person, I'm seeing you getting married.
Wow.
And when I look at this, it is going to be as if it should have been, you know, it's like this is the most normal, natural thing in the world.
How many years?
I'm not able to answer that for
you. Okay, gotcha.
The reason being is that you've got to get through certain learning curves during the next 2 years.
Yeah.
It's not good or bad. Date, go out, do whatever you want to do, but I am seeing a very, very special commitment here. It comes from both parties, and this is good. But I am not able to give you a timeline.
Okay. Thank you so much, Donna. Have a blessed evening.
You too, dear.
Thanks.
This is Donna Siebel, and you can call in like Kate from New Orleans, and we would be delighted to put you through, and I'll give you my perceptive insights. Remember, I'm just an information resource. These are skills that I've worked with for so many, many years, and I'm delighted to be able to share with you on the air what it is that I do. Also, I wanted to share with you who we are going to be talking with during the rest of this week. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Neil Martin. This is material I love. He talks about habit, and boy, we've all got them, and how 95% of behavior marketers ignore what people do. And this is information for us as consumers that's really insightful. And for those of you who are in business, I think it's even more of an asset. So we're going to be talking with Neil tomorrow, and then we're going to be talking with Kirk Ashley in Australia. And his book is called How Would Love Respond? People's stories always fascinate me. What turns their lives around? What makes them think the way they do? Well, Kirk is going to share his, and I think you'll find it quite inspirational. And then one of my favorite people, Dr. Richard G. Petty, is going to be on the air with us on Friday. We're going to be talking about healing, purpose, passion, meaning, wellness. We're going to be getting into all of those different aspects on Friday. And this is a show that you're not going to want to miss. This is a man who is very talented, traveled all over the world, and his blog is number 32 in the world for medical information. And by the way, you could always go to his blog. All you have to do is type in Dr. Richard G. Petty, and you will come up with that. I mean, this is good stuff. So we have so many wonderful guests. You're not going to want to miss any of it. So do tune in and get back to us, because we have got a lot to share. Donna Sebo here, and we're going to be taking a break for just a moment. When we come back, more good things to share, including information on flying, if you're going to be traveling, a little bit of this about business, a little bit of that, if we have time, about a horoscope. Or I can talk to you, whatever works best. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on BBSRadio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Okay, I was talking about flying. Let me share with you what happened on this flight that we had back to the East Coast. We were sitting on the tarmac for about an hour and a half before we could take off, and it was because of weather. And lots of times we become so accustomed to just getting on the plane and going, we don't think about this. Well, our flight was a nonstop flight from SeaTac Airport in Seattle into Reagan Airport in D.C. And, of course, that nonstop flight is traveling over areas of country where there can be some pretty intense storms and tornadoes. If you'd watched the news, you know how so many Illinois, Iowa, so many different states have been hit by tornadoes and all kinds of storms, intense storms. Well, we were delayed that amount of time because they had to figure out a routing to get around storm fronts. And when we were en route to D.C., of course, we're up 30,000 feet plus, and we are flying over areas of Iowa. And it was absolutely amazing to see this seemingly unlimited area of cloud that was just as it looked like fluffed whipped cream, and then these thunder clouds, which are indicative of either hurricane tornadoes that are going on underneath the cloud formation that we're flying above. And these things were massive, absolutely massive. So they have to deal with all of these particulars. And I know it's darn inconvenient, but there have been times when I've been in Texas or I've been on other flights in Virginia, on the East Coast, New York, Chicago, when there are weather fronts that come in, like thunderstorms, they can't fly, and they have to just stop the flights. So we were fortunate, but that was an hour and a half delay, and of course, that accounted for delays on the other end as well, and we had planned accordingly just in case. I've been flying for so many years, many times during this time of the year, so I am aware of things. So that's something, when you're traveling, don't try to do it by the seat of your pants, depending on what part of the country you're going to. Give yourself some extra time. And if you're going to be speaking at a meeting, if you've got a wedding you're going to, give yourself an extra day. Do that. Give yourself an extra day in case there are any delays where you are covered. Believe me, it will save you a lot of stress. Also, you want to, as much as possible, fly early in the day, because that will mean that if there is any delay, that you have got less of a delay, or you have a chance on getting on a later flight. It is really very important to remember that. Also, you can sign up for a registered traveler program to go through all kinds of information. And this is rather a long website that you could go to, but it's tsa.gov/approach/rt/travelers.shtm. And you can go in and you can just get all kinds of information from there. And there's just a lot of options that an airline may offer you if you are delayed, depending on how long the delay is. And it's important to know that you do have rights as a passenger. And you can, if they're going to keep you on the tarmac, we were on for an hour and a half, but it's going to be more like 3 hours. That happened to me in Juneau, Alaska on one trip. But most of the time people are aware that the airlines are really trying to do the best that they can, and they cannot control certain things. They're just out of their control entirely. But if you do need to get off, if there is going to be a real long delay, frequently the airlines I've flown with will allow you to get off the plane. But if there's any chance, again, dependent on weather, they may want you to stay on the plane. But if it's absolutely necessary that you get off when you have to wait for, let's say, 3 hours, that is your right to do it. So remember, when you're traveling, take things with you. Take a book. Take music. Take DVDs. I like the portable DVD CD players. They're so convenient. And you can just do all kinds of things when you're at the airport if you go prepared. If you're unprepared, well, there's all kinds of bookstores and other things around that you can take advantage of. Traveling is a delight. But in today's world, we are so assuming that we're not going to have any delays or interruptions, and we sort of get a little bit irritated. Remember, it takes a lot of people to get millions of individuals daily to where they want to go, whether it's by plane, by train, by car, truck, boat, I don't care. A lot of committed people really want to make it as comfortable for you. So remember always to be courteous, because being obnoxious and being rude is just not going to cut it. Now, I've seen a few people do that, and it really doesn't work very well at all. Consider the positioning you'd be in if you were on the other side of the fence, and maybe you don't have any information to give you as a passenger. So remember, courtesy goes a long way. I wanted to talk about small business for just a moment. Do you realize that small business represents 99.7% of all firms with employees in this country? That is an awesome percentage. Small businesses pay more than 45% of total private payroll, and private business, small businesses, employ about half of all private sector employees. Half! That's amazing. And in 2006, I don't know what the numbers are for 2007, but in 2006 there were 26.8 million small businesses in the United States. And this is via the Small Business Association's Office of Advocacy. Now, most small businesses will survive at least 2 years. 44% survive 4 years or more. And, of course, one of the biggest things, if you're thinking about going into small business, is to really sit down with someone, go through the numbers, not only work out a business plan, but realize that you're going to need some cash, you're going to have some capital. They have found survival of the fittest in a small business, understand the factors that ensure their success. The owner understands being large enough where you hire employees, your education level, and the reason that you wanted to start the business. It really is important. When you're running your own business, you're taking a risk, whether there's two of you involved in that business or 2002. It's always the same. There are no guarantees. There's up days, there's down days, and it is a commitment. It literally is 24/7 until you learn how to do it a little differently. But when you're in business for yourself, it's always on your mind, and it's always something that you are going to want to take good care of, because you take good care of it, it will take good care of you, usually. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. Let me give you the horoscope for Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius for this summer. These are little things that I come across, and I just think they're a lot of fun. For those of you born under the sign of Libra, in June, this month, keep your bags packed. You, if you haven't yet, you still may be invited to go on a vacation. But not only that, you are going to perhaps be looking at a new job offer. May come your way in a surprising manner. The month of July is going to really be good for those born under the sign of Libra, especially if you're looking for work, because there's a lot of opportunities. You are also going to want to have time with friends and family and maybe host an outdoor bash in August. You've got a happy month here. You have got an opportunity to play, and you love being by the water. So just realize that you are going to be focusing on jump-starting your career. That's right. You're going to really want to make some plans about making a difference in that. For the sign of Scorpio this month of June, you may have something very special evolving because of your application of your energies this month. Maybe you've had a special dream, a special aspiration. Well, you have a chance to really start seeing it take root. And you're going to be paying attention to your budget, too. You're going to be thinking about where you want to spend your cash, how you want to spend it. Also, and during the month of July, spending time with friends, that's going to be very important. You may find there will be a bonus or a job perk at your working environment after the 12th of the month. August, you are going to be spending time with people that you know and that you like, especially people that may be older than you. You're going to be rethinking some of the plans that you've made. You're going to be analyzing, is this really what I want? Do I want to move forward in a new direction? Financial news, you're going to be focusing on that. You're going to want to educate yourself about how to work with money more effectively. And after the 10th of August, you have an opportunity to make money work for you in its own special way. For those of you born under the sign of Sagittarius, you might find that money seems to be going through your fingers very quickly, like water this month. But you may find that you're going to start pulling yourself in a special way, questioning a lot of things in your life. Do you want to make more money yourself? What do you want out of life? What is most important to you? What are your values? What's your purpose? You're going to want to put your talents to use, too. July, well, that's going to be a real big whammy with career. A lot of thinking going on here. Could be working double time to achieve your goals. Money matters. Well, you're going to be really prudent with your dollars. And you are especially going to want to work with a new financial plan. For those of you born under Sagittarius in August, well, you have a chance to really have some time for yourself. Work through those small details for your financial planning and other things that are most important. And just know that you're going to have some more social activity that's going to be evolving starting during the month of August and going on from there. So if you want quiet time, August is the month to have it, because after that, it's not going to be very much of that available for you. Well, that's for Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius. And as I'm able, the next one will be Cancer, Leo, and Virgo. Yes, we'll be taking those. We've got six more to go for the summer horoscope for you. And by the way, this is a wonderful time to be out in your garden. The weather is just absolutely perfect. And remember, when you're out in your garden, when you're putting things out there, plan, if you can, a little bit so that when you're doing this planting, that you're going to have some things that will come up during the fall that will keep color in your garden. And you can have a designer look. If you don't have a lot of space, use, of course, planters of different size. But I really like something that I've seen more than once, and I've got a very dear friend who's got a green thumb of green thumbs, And that is, when you go away on vacation and you need to make sure that your plants don't dry up, shrivel up, and blow away when you open your front door because they're dead from a lack of water and nutrients, get some of these glass bulbs that have a tube. You fill the bulbs with whatever solution you have, and they will last for over 2 weeks. It's absolutely great. They'll only release water when the plant needs it. I think they are incredibly good inventions, and they look so pretty, too. Well, this is Donna Sebo. We're going to be saying goodbye for now. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And above all things, remember, your mind is yours. Don't ever give up hope. Dreams are given to you for the purpose of being able to fulfill them. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.